各位菩萨午安，阿弥陀佛。
Good morning, everyone. 阿弥陀佛。
我们今天要讲什么呢？我们今天要讲的主题是讲，跟大家分享进行品。
What is the topic of today? Today, I'm going to share with you about the pure conduct chapter.
我们今天大家早上起来啊，第一个念头是什么？当你听到你的闹钟响的时候，用怎样的心情从床铺上起来？
When you wake up this morning, what is the first thought that comes across your mind? When you hear the alarm and you're rolling off the bed, what were you thinking? What kind of mentality do you have?
是把闹钟压掉再继续睡个五分钟，还是直接就一听到认为又是新的一天的开始？
Do you hit the snooze button and roll over and sleep for another 5 minutes?Or do you wake up being invigorated and feel, oh, that's another new day?
大家是用怎样的心起床的？
So what kind of mindset did you have when you woke up this morning?
有人是很兴奋的心起床哦，为什么呢？因为昨天很开心。
Some of you said that you were excited when you got up. Why is that so? Was it because you had an awesome day yesterday?
我先讲我昨天哦，我昨天提早一天先下来这边，从象冈下来到这边。不过先送了两位菩萨到纽约市，在曼哈顿去坐车。
So, let me first share with you how it was for me yesterday. I came down one day early from DDRC here, but on route, we took two volunteers to Manhattan. We had to drop them off first.
接着坐车在市区逛了一圈。
And so, we were sitting in the car and went around the city.One round.
我发现我已经不适合生活在市区里面了。
It made me realize I'm actually unsuited to live in the city anymore.
不知道是不是因为象冈的生活，还有就是之前在法鼓山的生活，慢慢的我发现我比较适合跟动物生活在一起。
I don't know whether it's related to my lifestyle in DDRC and also at the Dharmadrama Mountain. I'm gradually to start to feel that maybe I'm more suited to live among animals.
不过其实就我们的生活形态来说，特别是我现在的这样子的一个身份状况，佛法它能够持续的传承下去，它是要与人互动，而不是在山林里面的。
But whether from the perspective of my current lifestyle or my current position as a monk, actually the essence of Buddhism.Has to do with the transmitting, passing down, sharing of the Dharma, and also it emphasizes interaction with people, not just living in isolation.
而对于大家来说，当你们能够亲近道场、听闻佛法以后，在日常生活当中，在与人互动的时候，也开始要慢慢转变。要怎么转变呢？等一下我们在进行品里面会跟大家提到我们一天的生活应该怎么样子度过。
And now all of us here, since we have the chance to learn about the Buddha Dharma, wish and in our daily interaction with people, we should start to experience some changes, transformation, in the way that we interact with other people. As to what kind of transformation this should be and how should we set our mindset, I'll be sharing these with you as we discuss more, go into the Pure Conduct chapter.
我刚刚提到昨天去纽约市坐车逛街哦，它其实对我来说是一个不一样的体验。怎么样不一样的体验呢？在42街那附近，它是一个比较比较繁华比较热闹的地区。那其实这样子的一个地区呢，对于我们一般人来说可能很习惯，可能我们已经习惯这样的生活，就是与人互动就希望热闹，那怕是自己一个人，还就是我们或许会觉得工作一天或是上课一天累了，然后轻松或者是要纾解压力，就会上街去，不管是吃东西还是买东西，或者是在那边的娱乐生活。所以我们已经或许已经习惯是在这么的一个生活状况底下。不过进去里面呢，我在那个环境底下，它让我是觉得，我刚提到它是一个比较嘈杂。那其实我那时候就在看我自己的内心。我刚刚提到齁，我们象冈还有我们法鼓山的生活与动物接触比较多，我不可能把大家当作动物来对待。
So let me go back to my experience yesterday, sitting in the car, going around Manhattan. We were actually in Times Square, 42nd Street, and just as an observer, it made me realize that, well, the area is very hustle bustle, and it made me see that for most of people, we are quite used to this kind of surroundings. We're looking for actions and activities to avoid feeling lonely, being alone, or as a way to release our tensions that's accumulated from work, from school. And so we do it, we release our tension by engaging in lots of activities involved with eating, shopping, or entertainment. As for me, going into this kind of setting, having been at DDRC for a while, I felt it was quite noisy. And when I tried to look within, it also helped me see the way my mind works. And like I said earlier, I'm used to interacting more with animals in quiet settings. But obviously, with people, I can't treat each of you like animals. So what should I do?
So 昨天在坐在车上的时候，我就在想齁，我已经习惯山上那样的生活，来到这边吵杂的。不过如果真的要在这边，我们讲真的要度众生，我们一定要走入这样的环境。但是当我们走入这样环境的时候呢，我们自己的内心怎么不受影响？可是我们也能够体会这些菩萨的心境是什么，因此我们才能够真的符合他们的需要，那跟他们互动分享佛法。
So I was thinking to myself, even though I'm used to a more secluded lifestyle, interacting with animals in a very quiet setting, and to me, this kind of Manhattan, for instance, is noisy and too busy for me. But now, since I do have to enter this kind of community, how should I settle my mind so that I could remain unaffected at the same time, be able to fully understand how other people feel so that I can provide service that best suits other people's needs.
所以刚刚提到我们一天怎么过齁，从早上起床我们要出门前，我们听到闹钟第一念，或许有人一起来他很开心，想到昨天 可能是礼拜六礼拜天周末去哪边度假回来很开心，但是接着去刷牙洗脸的时候想到今天可能是要工作进办公室，哎，要可能先找一个会议要跟谁见面，本来开心的心就会变成怎样，我们已经要迎接美好一天却变成很可能是 一天开始变得会很糟糕齁，因为我们的心被一个念转了，那我们会带着这样一个念出门，甚至于早上起床可能是在家里，哎，本来早餐有人帮我们准备好了，那可能是我们喜欢吃的也会变成怎样我们觉得不喜欢吃的，可能开始挑东挑西的就抱怨说，哎，今天怎么煮的这个好像不好吃，还是甚至可能怪说牛奶不好喝，那麦片煮太硬或是煮太软都有可能齁。
So for again, how should we settle our mind as we go through the day? So going back to what the analogy I was using earlier, throughout the day, for instance, when the alarm clock sounded, it goes off and you hear it, turn off the alarm. So some people may feel quite happy when they wake up in the morning. And this happiness may be due to you recalling the weekend. You had quite a really wonderful weekend and you recall the memory of it. But then as you get off the bed, start brushing your teeth, and you start thinking, oh, I have to go into work today and I need to meet with so-and-so. And then the mood immediately changes and you become grumpy. So this shows how your mind is turned by just one thought. And now you carry this thought with you everywhere you go. So after brushing your teeth, going to breakfast, you may be lucky enough there's someone that made breakfast for you, but because your mind had already been turned by a negative thought, then you start to nitpick about the breakfast, even though it may be food that you had originally liked, but now because you have a bad mood, so you're going to start nitpicking about the oatmeal, maybe thinking the milk is not fresh or the oatmeal is undercooked or overcooked, etc. This is all due to your mind, your mood being turned by a thought.
或者是我们出门的时候在上班过程当中可能遇到交通堵塞，或是沿路上面可能我们预计一天上班可能要半小时出门，但是今天忽然发生交通事故，或是路上在修马路，那我们可能会着急，因为可能上班要迟到。那这时候呢，我们的心是什么呢？
Or when you leave your house, you may get stuck in traffic, or there's an accident on the road, or they're fixing the road, so making you late for work.And you may start to feel anxious and wanting to hurry to get to work. So at these moments, what's going on in your mind?
我们或许会去抱怨，哎，我缴税缴那么多钱，怎么政府没有把马路修好呢？啊，或者是，哎，交通警察做什么呢？怎么没有把交通指挥好呢？我们或许一开始我们都会这样子的心反应。
So you may start to complain in your mind. I pay so much taxes, so where have the tax money go? Why didn't they fix the road already? And, or what are the cops doing? Why aren't they taking control of the traffic, etc.? So these may be our initial reaction to whatever you encounter.
我昨天在车上的时候啊，因为路上很拥挤，就塞车。那在十字路口刚好有人要转弯的时候，他没有注意到旁边的车，两台车差点撞在一起，那就看到后面那台车摇下车窗骂前面那台车，前面那台车也摇下车窗回头骂后面那台车。
So yesterday, as we were stuck in traffic, actually, and so as we're there, when we came across a crossroad, because it was so crowded, there were two cars that came really close and it was a near miss. They almost got into a car accident. And so you see these two cars, the driver in the back rolled down the window, started yelling at the person in front of him, and the person in the front also rolled down the window and turned around and yelled back at the second driver.
或许我们不会咬下车窗骂人，但是我们或许会在车上抱怨，想说这个人怎么这样开车，他到底会不会开，或是这样很危险，会让人会害其他人可能发生交通事故。那当我们在起这样的念头的时候，我们或许是一个很平常的反应，因为我们已经习惯了。那但是我们有没有去仔细的看看，当我们那一念上来，念头产生之后，我们接着会向外造作我们的身体和语言的行为的时候，我们是怎么样子向外去造作的？也就是说，当我们不是没有情绪反应，而是情绪有之后，我们在叙述这件事情的时候，是不是让我们的情绪包含在里头？
So, or perhaps if we are not the kind of people that roll down windows and yell at other people, still inside the car, we may be muttering to ourselves or scolding or thinking to ourselves, that's such a bad driver. Does he know that it's very dangerous to drive that way? So this may just be a habit and you may not think much of it. But the fact is, the very moment this thought comes up, it's a result of a habitual pattern, it's a habit. And when this thought comes up, it will result in some kind of reverberating further actions, either through your speech or action. Or sometimes when you recall this story, retell what happened to other people in your description of the incident, you need to observe whether there was any emotion that's involved, tainting your description, retelling of the story.
那我们刚刚提到，在健行平安整部呢，是讲我们一整天的生活应该怎么做。那在这一整天的生活呢，它并不是要我们改变现在已经有的生活模式，或是已经遇到的状况。改变的是，当我们遇到境界现前的时候，也是我们的这五根跟外界相应的时候，就是根处外层，就是这境界相应的时候，我们内心的反应，当下反应，到底我们是跟我们过去的习惯，我们去执着着我们过去的习惯呢，还是我们真的能够发起，当我们因为知道自己曾经经历过这样子的过程，也就是我们内心的反应，特别是我们有看见我们自己有哪些过程，我们转化成，我们发愿转化成，因为我们曾经经历过这样子的过程，我们怎么帮助其他人在面对同样的过程的时候，他不会落入我们曾经遭遇过或是经历过的这种模式。
So the pure conduct chapter, which is the focus of today's talk, it's teaching us how we should conduct ourselves throughout the day. What it'snot trying to do, it's not trying to change your actual behavior or to change the external situations. What it's trying to help us transform is the mentality. As our five sensory organs come in contact with the sensory objects, external stimuli, observe what kind of reactions that comes up.And see how whether our reaction is a result of past behavior, past patterns. And also simultaneously, while we observe our own reaction, try to understand how this is a result of a past habit, and then from there, helping us understand how other people are feeling, and then further make vows to help other peopleto avoid this trap and to avoid being trapped in their habitual patterns.
所以静行，我们讲静行品，静行两个字告诉我们是要达到清净的行为， 那怎么达到清净行为呢？透过清净的修行。
So the pure conduct chapter in Chinese, the characters is 静 and 行, which means pure and conduct. How do we achieve pure conduct? That means we have to first practice, cultivate, in a pure manner.
就是修行我们的行为。那行为有哪一些呢？我们讲的行为是心和行的，就是心和行，我们的心和我们的行，行为分成身体的和语言的两个部分。
So we need to work on practicing, correcting, purifying our behaviors, purifying our conduct, and this includes two parts, which is the mind andbehaviors. And under behaviors, it's further divided into speech and actual physical actions.
身体的部分呢，包含我们所有的肢体动作，那乃至于就是当我们遇到境界的时候，我们或许生气的时候，我们的脸部表情会怎么样？可能我们一开始生气，我们可能嘴巴会咬起来紧，那接着脸部表情、皱眉头，这些其实都包含在里面，乃至于讲话的肢体动作，这些也都是。
So, your physical actions, is also related to our body language. For instance, when you become angry, it's not only about your speech or whatever. It has also to do with your facial expressions.Usually when we become angry, we start pursing our lips and start frowning, and also our body language and the way we talk also changes.
语业部分是什么呢？语业的部分是我们讲话的用词、语调，这些都包含在里面。
So that is related to the physical karma.And as to the speech karma, it has to do with the words we choose when we speak and the tone that we take when we're talking with others.
意业的部分呢，是当我们在做一件事情，我们内心是一个期待心还是什么呢？
As for the mind karma, has to do with when we're doing something, what kind of mentality do we have? What kind of thought arises?Are we expecting some sort of result, or what else is going on inside the mind?
在台湾齁，有一些寺庙，那它在建的时候，它我们可以看到有一些柱子或是一些墙壁上面，它会写某某人、某某某谁捐的。那这些人呢，他们其实在行布施的时候，我们举布施的例子齁，在行布施的时候，他期待着别人能够看见他做的这件事情。那其实这种期待的心呢，它是一种细微的贪的心在里面。那如果当别人没有察觉到他做这件事情，他会开始去抱怨，抱怨什么呢？这间寺院怎么这样，当初答应我把名字刻上去的没有刻。好，那这是一种细微的嗔的心，他怕别人不知道，甚至于他都希望当每次在介绍这间寺院是谁护持的时候，一定要念到他名字。那这种其实已经是细包含三种心在里面。第一个是他希望什么别人知道他，那如果当别人不知道或是没有符合他的期待的时候，他会起嗔心。那当他这两种心在造作的时候，他不清楚自己在这个状况底下，他是痴的心，贪嗔痴三种心，因为我们讲三种烦恼在里头。那我们可以去试着看看，我们是不是在做这些事情，就我们日常生活当中，在有些事情在做的时候，是不是也会让自己在这种心的状况底下呢？
In Taiwan, oftentimes when temples are built, On the pillars, the great pillars or any sculptures, names will be carved onto these pillars to show that so-and-so has donated this pillar. With this kind of practice, it shows that the donors, when they were making the donations and giving, practicing giving, they were actually expecting something. They were hoping for some sort of recognition to be seen. So it's very subtle. There's already a subtle greed that's operating with this kind of mentality. And when they are not actually acknowledged, if their name is not carved onto the pillar, then they will start complaining, why is the temple like this? It's malfunctioning that I told them to carve my name on it, etc. And then it gives rise to anger, a subtle anger or not. They are hoping, what these donors were hoping is, again, acknowledging. And they were even hoping that perhaps in the future, every time people talked about this temple, my name will be mentioned. This already contains three kind of mentalities in this thinking. First, they want to be acknowledged. So it's a sort of greed. And then if they're not actually acknowledged, it gives rise to anger. And then furthermore, if they don't realize this is what's happening, they don't reflect within and see themselves clearly, then it's ignorance. So this results in three sorts of vexations, or actually we can say three sorts of vexations functioning simultaneously. So in the future, when we actually, when we're doing anything, we should try to observe our own mind to see if these sort of expecting, this kind of mentality is actually taking place where you're expecting for recognition.
This is 我们自己本身的造作，那还有一些是我们自己，也是我们自己本身或许会在遇到可能外面的环境，像什么像天气的改变，我们的心它怎么造作的嘞？我去年十月先来这边三个月，一月回去，今年四月再来。那虽然没有遇到真正最冷的时候，遇到下大雪的时候，不过我回去的时候别人问我说在这边怎么样，我跟他们说每天打开门，去年十月的时候天气已经是摄氏是零度，我不知道华氏多少，华氏大概是30度，好，我就跟大概是30度左右，我就打开门，我每天就说我打开门像是进入冰箱一样。
So what the whole, what I described earlier is how our mind works, doing certain actions. When we encounter different kind of weathers, how does our mind work usually? So last year, I came to stay in DDRC for 3 months. I went back in January, went back to Taiwan in January, and came back again here in April. And when I was in Taiwan, people asked me, so how is it like at DDRC? And I was retelling and recalling my experience and telling them that, back in October, it was autumn, in October, every time I open the door, the temperature has already dropped to the 30s. So opening the door is just like opening a door to a refrigerator. You get blasted, hit by a blast of cold air.
后来其实我自己去看齁，看我自己刚开始可能是一种比较开玩笑的心去讲这样子的。不过后来其实我发现我对于天气啊，这种冷的天气，我一开始也不想要去接受它，因为不想出门，只要遇到出门的时候，那种内心是很抗拒的。
So, and then from that exchange, it made me look within a little bit more and observe myself closely. It made me realize that when I first said it, it was perhaps meant as a joke. But if I look more carefully, It actually shows that I didn't really want to accept that cold weather. And whenever it was time to go outside, I actually resist going outside quite a bit.
而那种抗拒的心呢，其实是对于天气起一种嗔的心。那再来是我想要贪着一种温暖的环境。当我在一开始没察觉的时候，其实就是落入嗔的心的状，哎，痴的心的状况底下。
So underneath that, the mentality of resisting, pushing against cold weather, it actually shows that I have given rise to some sort of some anger already against the cold weather. Simultaneously, I was also given rise to a greedy, clinging on for warmth.
那另外，昨天我一样在路上的时候，我看到，我不确定是不是交通警察在指挥，因为这边的制度我不清楚是不是交通警察。对，我看到一个交通警察在指挥的时候，他指挥的时候呢，他是有节奏的，他自己在那边很开心的，有一个，他应该自己在唱歌，然后在指挥的时候他就开始边打拍子边指挥，那身体呢会随着。他会自己转圈圈转方向，但是又不会让车子撞在一起，而且他还会注意到哪时候是红灯，哪时候绿灯，应该要换方向。那时候呢，其实外面呢天气大概是中午十二点很热。那我不知道他在当下对这种热的环境，他的心是什么。不过我们当然来看看进行品里面告诉我们怎么样子。在遇到热的天气和冷的天气，我们应该怎么样子去面对它
？And on the other hand, yesterday, when I was here, I observed a policeman who was doing traffic control, and he seemed to be really enjoying it. And maybe he was listening to music or something, or maybe he's singing to himself. So as he was doing. He's directing traffic, he was moving according to some sort of rhythm, and he will make a turn, and at the same time, he's able to pay attention to the red light and green light. And so he was really quite having some fun by himself. But at that time, it was about noon, so it was quite hot outside. So I was wondering, what kind of mindset does he have in this kind of heat and doing his job? So...Even though I don't know what's going on in his mind, but again, we're going to turn to Pure Conduct chapter, and in here, they would tell us how we should settle our mind, even in really hot weather or in cold climates. The way to settle the mind and the kind of mentality or the kind of mindset we should give rise to.
在进行品第126和第127记进行品它分成长行和寄送体齁。前面长行是智守菩萨向文殊菩萨请教怎么样子让三业清净。那文殊菩萨呢以141偈来回答我们日常生活当中面对各式各样的状况。那个各式各样的状况是针对当时的印度生活。那我们再跟大家介绍以后呢我们可以想想我们现在如果遇到这样的状况，我们应该怎么样子去发愿帮助其他人哦
？So, for instance, verse 127 and 128, in the Pure Conduct chapter, it talks about the weather. This chapter is actually consisted of two parts. The first is a prose. Of a dialogue, and then it's followed by verses, 141 verses. And these verses are Manjushri Bodhisattva's response to the question of how we should settle our mind, how we should cultivate pure conduct in every situation in our daily life. And these 146 verses, obviously, it's talking about lifestyle back in India back then. And so by reading them, we can transpose this and take it to our contemporary setting and think how we can also use the teaching to apply to our daily life today and here.
第126偈是讲天气热，它偈子是肾属炎势，当愿众生离烦恼热得清定凉。第127偈讲的是对于天气寒冷，它讲龙行冰结，当愿众生就近解脱，无上清凉。
是很不一样的，我就是照着他的翻译念嘛，是这两个嘛，对不对？可是中文是不大一样，没关系。
So, verses 126 and 127 is talking about hot and cold weather. During the blazing, poisonous heat of summer, I vow that sentient beings will leave all afflictions behind and completely put an end to them. The second verse says, when the summer ends and the cool season begins, I vow that sentient beings will realize the unsurpassed Dharma and ultimately be clear and cool.
那大家天气热的时候会想做什么？吃冰，或是泡在游泳池里面去海边玩，还是像现在在冷气房里面就不出来？在台湾齁，很多人天气热的时候不在家里吹冷气，他会跑去百货公司吹冷气。
So when it's scalding hot, what do you like to do? Some people think, oh, I want to eat some ice cream or have some shaving ice. Or they like to go swimming or go to chill on the beach or stay in the air-conditioned room all day and not come out. In Taiwan, there's actually this practice where they don't like to stay in their own home and turn on their own AC. They go to department stores and enjoy the cold air there.
So...我们离烦恼热的方法，在这边没有跟我们讲到齁，舍离众恼就离烦恼热的方法，一般是要得清凉定，也就是一切洁净。那我们的方式是什么？我们刚提到，我们是借由冰淇淋，还有冷气齁。可是菩萨他真正的做法是什么呢？他想到的不是自己。他想到的是，有些人或许不能够像我们用这种方法离开，可是他发愿是发愿一切众生呢，离烦恼热的方法，因为他把这个外在的环境，他转化成看到自己对于这一个热的天气，他身心起什么反应之后，他去追逐什么，那。当他在追逐过程中，他发现其实越追逐，真的，当我们离开冰淇淋吃完了，或从冷气房出来了，或是去游泳池从水面出来了，问题有解决吗？外在环境天气热，它已经是一个事实了。好，那我们怎么样子在面对不能改变的外境，我们的心怎么样子去转变？他这边提到得清凉定，是我们的心不被什么，不被这个热的天气影响。而当我们能够去察觉热只是一种觉受的时候，哦，原来天气热是这样子。那或许我们有些应该还是要做的事情，可能照面工作人他还是需要完成。那我们刚前面提到，在路上指挥交通那位菩萨，他或许用他的方法去能够安住在他当下工作，而且他把这个天气热的方式转化，那甚至于让这些来来往往 的车子，或是像我们在等红灯看到的时候，内心因为看到他这种喜悦的心，而且能够享受在工作当下的心，我们当下的心境也跟着转变。
SoTo able to achieve the kind of state here in these two verses where you alleviate all vexations and leaving all afflictions behind and put completely end to them, in terms of cultivation, you actually have to achieve the state, samadhi of pure coolness, samadhi to reap that kind of result. But what do we do? Instead, we rely on ice cream or AC rooms or beach and swimming pools. With great bodhisattvas, when they encounter these kind of, for instance, really hot climate temperature, what they do is they think of other people and they try to come up with ways to help other people alleviate from the sufferings. So first, they go from observing their own reactions, physical and mental, emotional reactions to the heat, and they observe their own behavioral patterns, how they chase after ice cream, cold weather, and swimming pool. Observing their own patterns and seeing that by chasing after these materialistic ways to alleviate the suffering, it's actually not going to result in any ultimate benefit. So by seeing that and clearly see that, they try to use their own experience to help other people alleviate from their sufferings. So by obtaining samadhi of cool, pure coolness, it means we will no longer be affected by these external factors. External environment is merely a fact. And the way we respond to it, the discomfort and all, it's just a sensation, a perception. That's it, and there's nothing more to it. And while we have these unpleasant sensations or perceptions, they may still be tasks that we have to accomplish. So how do we overcome that and still complete these tasks? So take that policeman, the traffic control guy, as an example. He was able to not be affected by the heat and to be able to settle into the moment and really enjoying his work through the motions and rhythms. And in turn, the people, the onlookers, the observers, are able to then derive benefit by observing him and seeing the joy that he has. And then it will also give other people joy as well.
那在遇到天气冷的时候呢，菩萨的心境呢，他是希望一切众生都就近解脱。从，因为他用冷和热，我们讲烦恼是热的，为什么？他让我们的身心处在一种煎熬。如我们当我们的心，你当我们的身体在热的时候，我们会很烦躁。那当我们解脱之后呢，我们是从热的烦恼流当中进到希望清凉的，所以这两季它同时去看的齁，怎么样子从热的状况进到冷的。可是在我们冷的时候呢，我们也不要受到冷的这个天气去影响，所以呢它向我们发愿是在这种清凉里面，我们前面讲是得清凉定，所以它这边告诉我们，我们既然知道从烦恼当中解脱出来，那同样的遇到冷的天气的时候，那我们希望我们是就近解脱，是我们不要再受到影响，那得到是无上的清凉。
So on the other hand, when the weather starts to cool down, these great bodhisattvas, they vow that they hope that all sentient beings will achieve ultimate liberation. In Buddhist scriptures, oftentimes vexations is used. We use heat to describe vexations, that it's hot and bothersome. And usually, when we talk about liberation, the analogy would be a cooling down of these vexations. So you hope that in cool weathers, you give rise to these great vows, hoping that all sentient beings will eventually reach the state of pure coolness and no longer be affected by various vexations.
所以我们刚刚提到，净行的意思是清净的行为和清净的修行。那清净的修行呢，是告诉我们在三业上面精进，那去修一切功德。清净的行为是在我们三业精进修行的过程，最后达到三业的清净，而不去犯一切的过失。
So as I mentioned earlier, pure conduct, there's two layers of meanings. One is referring to pure behavior, conduct, and the other one is pure practice. These are both related to the three karmas, and one is, has to do with purifying your conducts. Three karmas means to no longer commit in further transgressions or mistakes, and you'll further be vigorous in cultivating all sorts of merits.
而所谓修一切的功德，三业精进的修行呢，是当我们在遇到各式各样的状况，就我们的根根外尘环境接触的时候，我们所谓修一切功德，怎样子有功德呢？是我们发愿自己本身发愿离妄念，从迷当中，从烦恼当中自觉。那除了自己发愿之外呢？除自己发愿之外，我们在进行品当中，它每一季是由四句组成的。那在第二句里面呢，它是告诉我们要当愿众生，也就是不是我们自己本身以外，我们自己本身，我们提到我们自己本身在修行的过程当中，我们发现我们会遇到的境界，其实其他人也会遇到。可是我们已经能够从里头察觉自己曾经经历过的过程，那我们转化，也就是我们讲发愿回向，怎么样子真正回向呢？这个回向并不是只有为了我们自己本身而已，而是怎么样子能够跟其他人能够去相连结在一起。
So what does it mean in terms of being vigorous in cultivating, practicing your three karmas and practicing all sorts of conducts that will bring more merit and virtue? What is merit and virtue? Merit and virtue actually means you vowed to depart from ignorance, to depart from delusions and reaching understanding. Enlightenment. And in addition, it's not only applying to oneself. Over here in the first verse of Pure Conduct chapter, it actually talks about one should vow that all sentient beings. So it goes far beyond oneself. It should apply to all sentient beings. And that is because we ourselves in our process of practicing, we have encountered all sorts of vexations, and we have reached understandings, and we gain ability to transform these vexations. And so we want to be able to connect with other sentient beings and share our experience with them. So oftentimes when we are reciting sutras, we talk about transference. Transference doesn't mean you're transferring all the merits to myself. It actually means you're transferring the merits to all sentient beings, making connections with them and using what you have learned to alleviate their sufferings as well.
所以当我们在修行的时候，我们去看看我们对于修行本身，我们是怎么样子开始的。所以怎么样开始，是我们怎么样子发愿修行的。那我们修行有哪一些方法呢？或许我们有些人是打坐，有些人是拜佛，有些人是念经或是念佛。那我们的目的是为了什么？
So it would be worth it for us to take a look at what initially motivated our own practice.What sparked it? What is the beginning? What was your motivation when you started your practice? When we practice, there are all sorts of methods. Meditation, prostrating to the Buddhas, or reciting the sutras. But for what? This is a question that you should think about. What are you doing all these practices for?
或许我们有一些人打坐他是 有人听到诶打坐对身体健康有帮助，那有些人是说能够情绪安定，甚至有人是希望明心见性，一听到说打坐可以开悟来的。那有些人听到说来拜佛拜忏，他能够消业障，甚至于是诶家人有人生病，或者是最近可能有人要找工作，那乃至于要考试或是上班，他来祈求。那念经有时候是想要有感应，我们或许刚开始在修行发愿的时候会是这样子发愿的。
So for some people, when they start their practice of meditation, it may be because they have heard other people talking about the health benefit of meditation, or how it could help to settle your mind, settle your emotions. So it brings emotional, psychological health. Or even meditation might help you reaching enlightenment and seeing your true nature.So those are some motivations people may have when they started meditation. Or for making prostration to the Buddha. Some people may heard that it will help them remove their karmic obstructions. Or some people are doing it as a way to seek blessings. Maybe they have some families are sick or looking for jobs or about to take a test. They're looking for blessings to pass on to others. And for others, when they practice the recitation of sutras, they may be seeking some sort of supernatural response, connections, or some sort of reactions from external. So these are various motivations people may have when they embark their cultivation.
这样子的修行方式它是没有错的，不过它是有限的。为什么有限呢？因为这只是我们自己本身而已。如果当真正危险的时候，就是当有境界现前的时候，我们内心的反应其实还是没改变的。为什么呢？或许有些人他很习惯念佛啊，平常可能他有习惯用计数器或是用念珠，一天可能上面一万两万的数目字，可当真正现前的时候他会怎么样呢？可能今天走在路上一台车况冲出来，他第一句话阿弥陀佛，哎呦怎么这样子啊。他前面阿弥陀佛没有错，可是问题出在哪一句？后面那一句哎呀这个人怎么这样子。而且他那个哎呀怎么这样子的时候，他是哪些心在里面呢？他可能是用一种生气，或是他被吓到，然后一些的情绪反应出来的。
So these motivations are not necessarily wrong, but they are limited in scope and also in result. After all, these kind of motivations only pertaining to the self. With this as the underlying motivation, your internal reactions, the way you think, mentality, remain unchanged. It's not transformed by these practices. For instance, some people may be very diligent in reciting Buddha's name. So they may use a counter or using their rosary beads to count. And maybe 10K, 20K a day. But when they walk on the street and a car came out, almost hitting them, the first reaction might be, Omitofo, what the heck? That would be the initial reaction. So even though the first phrase is the Buddha's name, but the underlying emotion is really, really coming from, what the heck with that? It's still triggered by anger or by some sort of surprise, by shock. So the mind hasn't really been changed by the repeated recitation of Buddha's name.
修行的方法啊，它其实第一层啊，是我们跟是不是跟诸佛菩萨在一起？什么叫跟诸佛菩萨在一起呢？佛他是圆满，人格的圆满，菩萨是什么？ 觉有情，觉有情，就是说我们是不是这些修行它是不是能够帮助我们在走向人格圆满的这条道路上面，是第一个。第二个，是不是我们真的能够就像净行篇每一句的第二句都当愿众生，是不是我们也能够帮助其他的众生能够从烦恼当中解脱出来。
So there are many layers in practice, and the first layer it really should be, is your mind corresponding with the mind of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas? Or do they match? What does it mean to be corresponding with them? It means that, what does Buddha mean? Buddha means it's someone who has achieved perfection in their human characteristics. So that's what Buddha means. And what does Bodhisattva mean? Bodhisattva means it's someone that's compassionate to all sentient beings. So whether your practice has really corresponded and matched with these two kinds of mentality would be the key to your practice. Just like in the verse, again, the first verse already says you are vowing for all sentient beings. So that should be kept in mind at all times.
So when we are in prayer,拜佛或念经，就我们刚提到，在修行的时候，我们不论是用哪种方法，我们刚开始发心的时候，我们提到，我们如果只是为了自己，它是有限的；可是如果当是为了别人的时候，是为一些众生的时候，那这时候我们的心会向外扩大出去，更能够开始去体会。因为我们曾经自己经历过这段，所以我们也知道其他众生在面对问题的时候，他当下心境是什么。因此我们最后在转化的时候呢，是把修行的目的，刚开始可能是为了自己，那最后修行的目的是为了什么呢？只是为了修行。
So, like I said,when the motivation for your practice is focusing on the self, it's quite limited. But on the other hand, if you turn around and start cultivating in order to benefit others, then you start broadening the scope unlimitedly, externally. And because we are also one of the sentient beings, and we understand the toils and the vexations that all sentient beings go through, we're able to use our understanding to reach out and help others. And so in this process, you transform oneself, and you initially start cultivating, practicing for oneself, and ultimately you start to practice for the sake of practicing.
所以我们从自己本身的修行是属于一种比较静态的，那当我们发愿与其他众生互动的时候，它是一种比较动态的，也就是我们怎么从自己个人本身的修行向外能够跟其他人互动，那这就是我们修行，我们刚提到修行只为了修行，它的目的它其实是展现在我们自己内心本身的内修和与外境在互动的时候，我们叫外弘，就是个人与大众之间，它还是有连结，还是有互动的。
So when we start our own practice, it tend to be on the more quiet side, subdued, and it's focusing on the self. And then when you start to to practice for the sake of other sentient beings, then you have to interact with other people. It becomes more dynamic.So ultimately, yes, we practice for the sake of practice, and which will involve both dimensions of self-practice as well as interacting with other people.
好，所以我们提到净行品啊，它的架构是由长行和寄送，在长行里面的是透过问答，智守菩萨向文殊菩萨请法，请什么呢？他问文殊菩萨如何能够成佛，那文殊菩萨跟他回答呢，是说当我们三业清净能够得一切功德， 而且也能够像普贤菩萨一样。那这品当有趣齁，在前一品的时候他讲的是怎么样子在解门上面，也就是智慧。那我们都知道文殊菩萨他是智慧第一，那智首菩萨像文殊菩萨请法如何成佛，我们从这边应该可以大概去猜到，也可以知道从上一品接到这一品这样子如何成佛呢，他希望是怎样子能够得到，想要得到智慧，因为他既然是向文殊菩萨请法。但是文殊菩萨回答他说，我们三业清净得一切功德，最后要成为像普贤菩萨一样。普贤菩萨他是发的是，我们如果平常有做早晚课，他发的是十大愿，那这每一愿呢他是要去行的，我们讲大恨普贤菩萨，他这个是去行的。因此我们要如何成佛，是我们一般讲成佛像菩萨是具备了智慧福德圆满嘛，那这个智慧福德圆满呢，其实透过第一个是发愿，像文殊菩萨的发愿十大愿发愿，这是第一个。第二个是发愿之后我们怎么样子去落实，也就普贤菩萨他去落实去行这个愿的部分。
So the structure of this chapter, pure conduct chapter, is divided into two. One is prose, it's a dialogue between the foremost wisdom bodhisattva and the Manjushri bodhisattva. The foremost wisdom bodhisattva is inquiring Manjushri bodhisattva about how does one become a Buddha. And the answer he was given by Manjushri bodhisattva is that once you have achieved purity in all three karmas, then you have obtained all merits and virtue, and that's how one becomes a Buddha. This turn of the conversation is actually very interesting, because the earlier chapter actually focused on how does one obtain wisdom. It's spoken by Manjushri Bodhisattva. And because Manjushri Bodhisattva is known as being number one in his wisdom, So you would think, following the line of logic from the previous chapter, Manjushri Bodhisattva is going to continue talking about developing one's wisdom. But instead, the answer he gave was to purify your three karmas and become like Samantabhadra, the universal worthy Bodhisattva, to follow that kind of practice in order to become a Buddha. The universal worthy Bodhisattva, or Samantabhadra Bodhisattva, is known for his great vows. One of the most well-known thing about him is he made 10 great vows, and these vows are to be practiced on. It's great conduct. It's not something you just talk about, think about, it's for actual practice. So in order to achieve perfection in wisdom and merit and virtue, first, you have to be like Samantabhadra Bodhisattva. You first have to give rise to great vows, and then actually fulfilling these great vows through your own practice. That's how one reaches Buddhahood.
接下来是文殊菩萨透过141个偈颂，每颂都发愿来告诉我们如何达成长行，就是前面所标示的愿望。什么愿望呢？如何成佛？
So the next part of this chapter, I said earlier, the first part is the prose. The second part consisted of 141 verses. These are Manjushri Bodhisattva's answers to the question of how does one become a Buddha.
在这141个偈颂里面呢，分成十个项目。第一个是在家的时候，那第二个部分呢是出家受戒。那或许大家觉得奇怪，为什么要讲出家受戒跟我们有什么关系呢？那其实这个主要是告诉我们啊，出家受戒或许我们自己本身现在可能大家已经 或许没有因缘哦，不过他告诉我们是不要忘记当时发菩提心想要修学佛法的心。好，那再来第三个是就坐禅观，就是我们日常生活在修行的时候，还有就是将行披挂，就是我们日常生活穿衣服这些细微的动作，好，还有就是早漱盥洗，我们在刷牙洗脸的时候应该怎么办，还有就是起食道行，过去出家人的生活呢，他们是要去外面托钵的，那我们现在不需要托钵，那对于大家来说，这个起食道行也是去外面托钵的时候，我们现在可能有些人，我不知道男众女众可能需要怎样去市场买东西，去超市买一天的东西，它其实转化成我们进到超市去买东西的时候，那对于这些食材我们去买的时候的心，它是可以转化的。那在起食道行的部分呢，我们会走在外面的路上，在道路上面遇到马路可能坑坑洞洞，过去可能不像现在，他可能走在泥土地上，有时候下雨，有时候天气热，我们现在可能遇到交通堵塞，或是地上垃圾还蛮多的，我们遇到这些环境，还就是我所见的一些事情，还所遇到的人，我们或许出门会遇到喜欢或不喜欢，可能有些住在公寓，一打开门，对面那个就是不喜欢的，结果今天一开门就遇到讨厌的，本来今天很开心出门，因为一开门所以整天心情又变糟，还有就是道城起食，就是进到城里面，像我们可能有人住在郊区，要来上班是进到市区，好，还有就是工作一天要回家之后，那回到家，稍微让自己可能晚上睡觉，他可能会是要诵经之前，他可能会简单的沐浴这些，甚至于就是他要诵经，他有哪一些方法，他就是晚上要睡觉了一整天的啊，还有就是睡醒之后的第一念是什么，他总共分成了这十个项目来告诉我们。
So among these 141 verses, it's further divided into 10 categories. The first one has to do with the lifestyle of laities. When we do all sorts of activities as a lay person, how should we settle our mind, or how should we approach, with what kind of mentality should we use to approach all these activities? And the second category has to do with when one becomes a left-home person, a monk or a nun. And we may be wondering as lay people, why, because I'm a lay person, why do I have to know about becoming a left-home person, a monastic? The main purpose of this category is to remind people to never forget our initial motivation, what had triggered our practice, and to remember how we wanted to benefit other sentient beings. Moving on, the third category has to do with one's what kind of mentality we should have when we approach sitting, meditation, or contemplation. Fourth category has to do with putting on robes. Fifth category is about brushing our teeth. Again, approaching these different activities, what kind of mindset should we have, or what kind of what should we settle the mind on? The sixth category has to do with going out asking for alms. Back in India, the Sangha had to go around begging for food. So that's in the past, in Buddha's time. But now, how do we apply that to our contemporary lifestyle? We can think about, for instance, going to the supermarket. We can apply the same mentality to when we look at the produce, how we're picking and choosing, what kind of mind we should have when we're doing this activity. The sixth category is further divided to when we're walking around, when we see potholes or seeing garbage on the path, or getting stuck in the traffic. again, what kind of mentality should we uphold? Or if we encounter things, events, that's either favorable or unfavorable. Or when we encounter people that we either like or dislike. So for instance, a lot of us live in apartment buildings, and you may really dislike your next door neighbor. And so when you open the door trying to go out in the morning, the first thing you see is that neighbor, and then you feel your entire day is ruined. How can we alter that? Moving on, seventh category has to do with going to the city to work or going to workplace. So some of you may be living in a suburban setting and going to the city to do your daily work. Again, mentality. What kind of mentality to uphold? Number eight is returning home, taking a shower, cooling down, cleansing. Number nine has to do with doing your daily practice of sutra recitation or your daily meditation practice. Number 10 has to do with the kind of how we should approach going to bed and waking up in the morning. So these are the 10 broad categories that's included in this 141 verses.
像在第一个项目在家的时候齁，前三条呢，它跟我们的日常生活息息相关齁。第一个是讲与家人的互动，菩萨在家当愿众生舍离家难入空法中，在跟家人互动，我们有时候这个整个家呢是整个家族齁，家族的互动的难呢、啊、有哪一些？家难，他的难是指的是遇到一些或许是纷争、哦、可能现在是小家庭，不过它类似什么呢？类似我们可能我们现在家里都小小菩萨，那从小到大我们可能为了他什么，为了他的功课还有应该念什么科系，就是长大之后我们可能我们会帮他决定诶他应该要读什么科系呢或者什么，可是小朋友他有时候会有自己的想法，想要选择他有兴趣的，可是我们可能大家做父母的是希望什么？是希望有前途的，这个钱是什么？是希望他能够一个所得比较好的，好，我们像他都是我们的出发点都是什么？都是为他好。那但是有时候就是会有这些纷争，那甚至于整个大家族，如果是过去中国传统大家族，人多在一起的时候，想法不一样，观念不一样，那就容易起争执哈。所以这个家难是一些争执。那我们应该怎么办？这是第一个。第二个是孝事父母，对于长辈对父母，那我们当愿众生一切护养永得大安。所谓的大安是我们在佛法当中讲的安是安乐，安乐法华经其中一品叫安乐品、哦、这个并不是说只是我们给父母怎么样，这一切护养并不是说我们给他很好的生活环境、哦、可能他们过去老辈人他生活比较辛苦，那我们现在提供他很好的物质环境，并不是 只是这些而已、哦、这些护养呢是包含我们是不是除了给物质上之外，我们没有花时间陪他们，因为他们其实现在所想要的怎样并不很多，他们辛苦一辈子把我们养育到大，他现在只希望他们也希望我们能够平安，这是他们怎样现在他们应在对他们来说他们的日子已经不多了嘛，他们最大最大的希望就是我们能够平安，那他们这种所谓的平安是很少很少的，什么叫很少呢？ 他不会希望太多，他只是希望我们平平安安的过日子，就是很单纯的而已。这种的平安是在心灵上面的，而不是在物质上面的，永得大安。那再来是七子集会，这个七子集会呢是和谁呢？和这边讲妻子有，如果是对女众，是对于他的先生，还有就是小孩。集会呢是大家聚在一起的时候，他告诉我们是令出爱欲无恋慕心。我们一般会有情感上的执着，对家人会有情感上的执着，可是怎么把情感上的执着，我们有时候关心多了会变成担心。什么叫关心多变成担心呢？我们有时候会觉得，诶，我是为你好啊，你不应该这样做啊，可是很多时候其实是变成担心。而我们的关心是我们知道他在做什么，而且我们也知道他现在是平安的。那其他的人呢，我们或许就不需要去操太多心。我等一下再跟大家举例在台湾遇到一位菩萨的故事。
So the first three verses is about interacting with families. The first one says, a bodhisattva of the lay life shall vow that sentient beings will realize the empty nature of the household and avoid oppression from it. So this is targeting family interaction. And in the past, people may be living with a lot of extended family as a clan. And these days, it may now be more nuclear families, small households. But even within small households, there might still be all sorts of difficulties and obstacles. For instance, when one deals with one's own children, as children are growing up, you worry constantly about their schoolwork, and then when they get older, go to college, you worry about their majors. You want to steer them away from what's too idealistic and steer them towards something that will be more stable, bring perhaps a stable income. So that could be a source of argument. And also, if it's a larger, enlarged family with extended relatives, then people have different opinions often. And so it's easy to give rise to all sorts of discomfort and argument. And so this verse is talking about how we should approach these, the kind of mentality we should uphold to help us steer away from these obstacles. The second verse is relating to interacting with parents and elders. It says, when I serve my parents in filiality, I vow that sentient beings will serve the Buddhas skillfully and protect and nourish everything. So regarding elders and parents, what we are ultimately trying to achieve is to bring them great peace. Great peace means to have joy and also to have stability, feeling peaceful. And it's such an important concept that in the Dharma Avatamsaka Sutra, there's a chapter that's called the Peace and Joy chapter. And we're not really only talking about materialistic stability, because after all, parents, they oftentimes don't ask for a lot. What we also need to provide them is our time, because they have worked hard all their life, and all they really wanted for in the deepest of their heart is wishing us peace and joy as well. So by being able to fulfill that, we can bring great peace to our elders and parents. The third verse has to do with dealing with one's spouse as well as children. It goes, when I am together with my spouse and children, I vow that sentient beings will treat friend and foe alike and renounce forever the attachment of greed. Because oftentimes when we are with our spouse and children, people tend to become too attached emotionally. In that case, when you are overly concerned about their welfare, oftentimes it's turned into worries, unnecessary worries. So what we should the kind of mentality we should have is as long as we know they are peaceful and we know what they're doing and they are safe, then we shouldn't just follow this excessive attachment and worry excessively.
在我在台湾曾经有位菩萨，一位大概六七十岁老菩萨，女众。他先生已经过世了，所以他只有一个小孩。在毕业之后，在新竹的科学园区上班，一天是两班制，所以他一天要工作至少12个小时。每天回家都下班回家，回到家都已经11、12点了。那这菩萨就很担心他的小朋友，特别台湾有一阵子这些高阶工程师因为过劳死，就是每天工作太久了，所以最后是在看着电脑，坐在电脑面前往生的，就是因为工作压力大，有一阵子经常发生，所以他也担心他的小朋友会发生这样的事情。特别是下班回家，他们有时候没有用晚餐，所以他就每天会坐在客厅等他小孩下班回来。好，那小菩萨就他儿子回到家，看到他妈妈还坐在那边，他也会担心。那会担心呢，因为工作一天压力大，那我就听那个菩萨跟我讲，他说他会关心他小菩萨。我问他说你怎么关心的，他就说你怎么今天工作这么久，不是说几点下班就要回来了吗？可能他们是8点下班，但他回来都是10点了。那他小菩萨一开始会回说因为他要加班，可是等久了之后，其实他小菩萨会担心。那担心呢，他就说他回来就口气就不好啊，就跟我说我不是跟你早说早点睡不要等了吗，你这样身体不好。其实我们可以从他们的互动当中，他们彼此都在关心对方，可是关心久了之后，第一个是给对方造成压力。为什么？小菩萨他当然就他儿子当然希望能够早点回家，做母亲的当然是希望小孩赶快早点回家，因为看到这么多新闻发生这样的事情，他当然担心自己的小孩也会发生这样的事情嘛，所以他希望避免，希望他早点回去。那这个小孩其实也很孝顺，那他也担心他妈妈怎样，等太晚，等门等太晚，好，所以他已经工作一天压力大，然后回家要看到自己妈妈还没睡。他转化的过程当中转化错，他变成说你这样对身体不好，可是他的那因为一天的工作压力大，所以在互动过程当中两个人就变得很紧张很紧张。那后来我就跟这位菩萨讲，我说你儿子或许没有学佛，那你既然已经学佛了，你可以转化方式变成什么样子呢？我想说你或许可以在客厅帮他就是留一盏灯，就小夜灯这样子，留着一盏小夜灯啊，你怕他如果回来肚子还没有吃东西，好，那你可以帮他准备一些简单的东西放在电锅，他一回来他可能钥匙会放在哪边，你就在那边留一张字条跟他讲说我帮你留什么，那你就先回去休息。好，那或许从你这样子转变，小朋友他就可以感受到其实你还是有在关心他。那隔天早上起来，他会怎么样，他第一个他看到妈妈已经休息了，他而且又看到字条留下来，他彼此之间这种的关心，他可能隔天会问你昨天有没有睡得好啊，或者是他就会跟你谢谢你帮我留的饭菜什么的。好，所以就是透过这样子的转变，从一个人我们自己本身如果开始学佛，我们开始去设想其他人的立场，为什么他会有这样子的反应状况？好， 那么就从这里面我们讲说当愿众生发愿嘛，与人之间互动，就从这边我们既然已经开始学佛了，从我们自己本身开始转变，那开始转变我们设身处地在其他人的环境或是他的状况底下，他会怎么会有这样的心理的反应或是这种的现象反应出来，从这里面呢我们试着去转化我们刚开始我们提到的嘛，我们生于两个向外的造作，好，向外的造作的方式，那从开始的担心转化成关心，而这个真正关心呢并不是给对方造成压力，那彼此之间透过不一样的沟通方式，那我们刚提到前面或许有家难有这些争执，诶，它就会转化了。
So let me give you an example that I actually encountered in Taiwan, to illustrate what I meant by frictions within families and how we can transform these frictions. So there's a volunteer in Taiwan that goes to Domodedro Mountain, and her husband has passed away, and she only has one child, and this child is grown and is currently working at a special technology section in Taiwan, Hsinchu. And so it's a lot of computer-related companies, and it's really has a lot of... The work is very tenacious and a lot of pressure. And so the kid, but which is actually a grown man, the child works long hours, 11, 12 hours a day. And in Taiwan for a while, there were a lot of cases where people working in the technology sector, because the work has too much, is giving them too much pressure, they actually collapsed and died on the spot sitting in front of the computer. And for a while, these kind of examples came up quite frequently, so there was quite a panic of parents about these their children working in the computer and technology sector. So this mom is naturally very worried about her child working such long hours, so what she would do every day is to sit in the living room and wait for her son to come home. And the son will come out at 10, 11 at night, and seeing his mom still sitting in the living room, the son is also worried that, why are you still up? Why aren't you sleeping already? Don't you have to worry about your own health as well? So, and on the mom's end, the mom worries so much that she will start pestering her son about, why do you work such long hours? Didn't you say you're coming home at 8 o'clock, but how come it's 10 o'clock right now and you just came home? Why did you have to work so late? And the son, he already has a lot of pressure from work. He would answer, initially, he would be able to answer patiently saying, well, I just have extra work to do. I have to finish it before I can come home. But over a period of time, after so repeated questioning, he would start to lose patience and start talking back and saying, I told you already to go to bed early. Why did you have to wait up for me? Etc. Quite common. And so this is a clear example where they care a lot about each other, but because the lack of awareness or from habitual patterns or whatnot, this their care or their affection toward each other has actually turned to pressure for each other. So in that case, what I told this mom was, well, your son hasn't learned about the Buddha Dharma, so you can't expect to change other people, but you can start from changing yourself. So put yourself in his shoe. If you really worry about him, but you don't want him to worry about you in return, then maybe what you can do is put on a little lamp at the living room to welcome your son back. And then if you worry about him not having dinner, then put something in the rice cooker to keep it warm, and then he can eat it at night when he comes home. And then next day in the morning, after both of you are well rested, then naturally you can have a more peaceful conversation, and he will thank you for the food, and you can ask him about how he has slept, etc. So By doing this, you are then putting yourself in other people's shoes, using the kind of understanding that you have gained by working on yourself, and then further you will be able to anticipate and understand other people's problem and better react to it to help transform each other's behaviors. So this is a very clear example that shows how by transforming ourselves, transforming our own behaviors and conduct, we can bring more peace and benefit other people, as that's said in these first three verses. Time's up.
大家有什么问题吗?
Do you have any questions?
没有。
三业，要清净三业，身口意嘛，对不对？
对。
So it will be the mind, the speech, and your physical actions.
刚刚我在楼上的时候，法师问我说：“你还会不会再来讲？”我跟他说：“不知道，不过还没讲完。
”Earlier, when I was upstairs, someone else asked me if I'm going to continue this talk. Is this going to be the only talk? But apparently, we are not done yet. We're only on verse 3.
因为师父总共把141偈全部讲完，那或许下次我们也把141偈讲完。不过师父是在一个月，那时候是僧众节下30天。他对僧众讲的，啊，我会试着把师父当时对于跟僧众分享怎么样子在因进行品呢？他其实是从一个出家生活，从在家生活转换成出家。那我们就是把它看成从我们开始还没学佛前，进到学佛以后，怎么样子转化我们。过去日常会遇到的境界就状况，而能够真正的成为一位佛弟子，也就是三宝弟子。
So, 师父 when he taught the pure conduct chapter, he actually finished talking about all 141. Verses, so maybe that we can aim for that as well. But when he gave the talk on this, his audience was the monastics, and he did it over 30 days during the summer retreat for the monastics. So at that time, the focus was how do people transform their lay mentality to left home monastic mentality. But over here, the way we can approach it is we can use this as a way to gauge how can we transform ourselves before we start learning Buddha Dharma to after we started learning Buddha Dharma, and how we use what we learn to transform our own behaviors and applying it to our daily activities. And in this process of self-transformation, we will become a real disciple of the Buddha and the real disciple of the three jewels.
最后很感谢大家今天来听经。如果大家有所收获，是诸位的善根福德因缘，还有是过去与师父结的法缘。如果让大家没有收获，很惭愧。
So at the end, I want to express my gratitude for coming here to attend to this talk today. And if you have derived any benefit from this talk, it's due to your past good roots as well as your affinity with Shi Fu. And if you had not derived any benefit from this talk, then I feel quite ashamed and I'll work on it further.
好，谢谢大家。
Thank you very much.